Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Me, You, Us, a well-being podcast. I'm your host, Bill Krieger, and today my guest is Jennifer Smith. She is the team lead for IT Organizational Change Management here at Consumers Energy. So, Jennifer, if you'll introduce yourself, we'll get the conversation started.
Thank you, Bill. As you mentioned, I am the team lead for the IT Organizational Change Management team that sits inside IT. I've been an employee of Consumers for 16 years, and I was also an intern for 2 summers before that. So I have a long history with Consumers, and it's just an amazing place to work.
Well, shout out to interns, too. I just did the intern orientation, so you show that there is hope for our interns.
That's right. And I'm also the chair of Capable, which is an employee resource group here at Consumers Energy.
Okay, so you say employee resource group, so what is an employee resource group? And then if you'll tell us what Capable is too, that would be great.
Sure. So employee resource groups are a huge part of Consumers Energy. They are all staffed by employees at Consumers on a volunteer basis, and they align with different topics, different groups at Consumers Energy. So Capable is a ERG that removes barriers, opens minds, and creates pathways to meaningful work for current and future employees of all abilities. We promote accessibility, accommodations, and work-life flexibility for all employees. So we concentrate not only on just physical disabilities, but also mental and hidden disabilities as well. And we support not only our coworkers that have those disabilities, but also their families, coworkers, friends, and caregivers. So we really encompass all kinds of people with all abilities, and we're here to help whenever someone needs our help.
Well, and that's good to know, because I think a lot of times when we talk about people that have different abilities, right, we think about things that we can see, whether it is a wheelchair or crutches or just something that we can see. But many times those differing abilities can be things that we don't see. It could be mental health. It could be diabetes. It could be lots of other things. So, Jennifer, what attracted you to Capable? Because you're currently the chair, so obviously it's important to you.
A couple of years ago when I heard there was an availability on the steering committee, I thought it would be very exciting to get into because of my family history. So both my mom and my dad had disabilities. My mom suffered from diabetes for a very long time. So as you mentioned, that's something that you can't see outward. And then my dad, when he was 2 years old, was diagnosed with polio. So he got that from his grandmother, who came over to stay at his parents' house while she had polio, while she was recovering. And at that time, my grandparents didn't know how contagious it was, especially for children. So my dad had it when he was 2, and by the time he was probably 12 years old, he'd undergone multiple surgeries to restore the use of his ankles. He spent a year and a half in the hospital of his childhood away from his mom and dad, trying to recover from polio. So that's birthdays, that's Christmases as a little kid that he missed out on with his family. So I am his only surviving family member and caregiver. And over the years, I've seen how polio has affected him. And so I take him to all of his doctor's appointments, his checkups, and even out just to the grocery store. And I notice things that are more difficult for him, especially now that he is unable to walk and in a wheelchair. His dentist, for example, is pretty much impossible to get into in a wheelchair, especially if he was alone. I struggle pushing the wheelchair and opening the door and getting over the threshold. I can't imagine if he was there by himself. So things like that give me a different lens that I see through, and I would like to share my experience with my coworkers at Consumers and help make sure that people of all abilities can do their job.
So you have the unique position to be able to see things through other people's eyes, especially when you're helping your father out then.
Yep, that's correct. Yep. So those experiences have really given me a look into people who have differing abilities. I might not have them myself, but as a caregiver, I've experienced it.
Well, and that speaks a lot, because you can be an advocate not only for your father, but for others who are in that position. You know, you talked about polio, which is something we don't hear about a lot, but at one time, it was a very serious illness, and you're right, people didn't know that it was that you were able to catch it as easily as you could, especially children, and that really brings me kind of around to where we've been at for the last year with this pandemic that we've all been living through and all of the changes that are going on. And I know that a while back you actually read an article, I believe it was in the New York Times, where they talked about having hit this wall throughout the pandemic. And I know that it impacted you in such a way that you actually posted it to your LinkedIn account, which is where I saw it. But it really kind of raised some discussion around this. So could you talk a little bit about how that article resonated with you and why you decided to talk about it and post it?
So I was actually at home sitting on my couch and I was looking through my Facebook newsfeed and the article came up and I just thought, wow, we've all hit a wall. Like that sounds interesting, like something I should read. So I opened it up. And as I started reading, I felt like it was something that I could have wrote myself. So there was examples of not being able to come up with the right word, staring into the refrigerator at a piece of garlic, which was kind of funny. But, you know, I think that I could definitely relate to that. So there was a time this winter when I really struggled. You know, I was inside. I'm not an outdoor person when it comes to the wintertime. So I was inside with my two children who were virtual schooled until March. So they were home for a whole year. And my husband, who also works at Consumers, it was just the four of us. You know, nobody coming in, nobody leaving except for us. And there was this time when I was getting ready for my daughter's 7th birthday. And I had bought her a present and I couldn't find it. And it was the night before her birthday. I couldn't find it. And so I got mad and I got upset with my husband. And I said, where did you put it? I know you picked things up. Where did it go? He said, no, I didn't put it anywhere. I'm like, well, I don't remember even touching it. So then we get looking around and he finds it under our bed on my side of the bed. And as soon as he said, here it is, I remember placing it under the bed to hide it from her. But I had no memory of that until we found it. And it was just things like that that made me wonder, you know, am I like going through early onset dementia or Alzheimer's? You know, and I was scared. I didn't know what was going on. I felt like I was in a fog. And when I read that article, the tears started flowing. I was sitting on my couch and I just remember crying because I realized I wasn't alone. It wasn't just me that was going through this. It was other people. And I think that's what made me post it, because I thought, if I'm going through this, and I didn't know it, I thought something was wrong, there's got to be other people out there who are feeling the same way.
You know, when people share those stories, so this story came out in the New York Times, and then you've kind of shared your story with others based on what you read here, it's almost like it's a two-way help, right? Because other people realize that they're not the only person. And based on the feedback that you get from other people, you realize that you're not the only person. So it really is a win-win. And, you know, you talk about like forgetting things during the pandemic or just having these really odd emotions or staring at a piece of garlic in the refrigerator. I used to joke that I was getting a suntan from the light bulb in my refrigerator because I was opening it so often. But I also remember like there were times where I would just like burst into tears for no good reason at all. Like I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And as I read more about people's experience, I realize that a lot of these are just natural emotions, almost like going through grief, if you think about it, because we rely kind of grieving the loss of our interactions with others and grieving the loss of the freedoms that we so enjoy here and all of that. So I know that you hit the wall, but I also know that you didn't stop there. Like you didn't just stop at the bottom of the wall and stare at it. You actually climbed over the wall and took care of business. So talk a little bit about that too.
Yeah, and I identified with what you were saying about bursting into tears, because there were times when I would have one of those days where I was in this fog and something would set me off and I would go, in all honesty, into the bathroom and just cry, you know, and then my husband, you know, are you okay? And then my kids, is mommy okay? You know, and I just needed, I think, that release, you know, and then after I cried and collected myself, then I felt better, you know, like I got those emotions out. So, yeah. So one of the things that, that I've done to kind of climb over that wall, the first, I think, was reading the article and knowing that I hit a wall. Because I think when I was in the fog, I was just going through my emotions and I didn't realize how you know, what state I was in. And so once I realized it, I was able to do things to help myself get over that wall. One of the things I love to do is go outside, especially now that it's warmer. And some of my friends and coworkers know that I have parrots. So I have 5 parrots as pets. Some they're small to medium size. And one of the things I found on Amazon was a birdie backpack. So you can take your parrot and put him in your backpack and go on a walk. And I just thought, you know, that's kind of fun. I like going on walks and I love spending time with my birds. So let's try it. So I bought it on Amazon, and one of my birds is very easygoing, very laid back. And so I tried it with him first and put him in the backpack, and he loves it. He loves being outside. I love taking him outside, and it's actually a great conversation starter when you're out in your neighborhood and people ask you, what's that in your backpack? And they're just amazed that I have a bird in my backpack. So that helps me, you know, get outside with nature. My girls love going with me and my husband, so I'll go on a family walk. One of the other things I do that I've actually been doing since I was 12 years old is I listen to music in the morning when I get ready. And so I have a Bluetooth speaker in my bathroom that's always there. And I put on some, you know, upbeat Latin music or hip hop music to get my day started. And I think that really helps, you know, cheer me up. It's kind of hard to be in a sad mood when you're listening to salsa or hip hop. So things like that. Another thing would be talking to people. So I found that once I shared my story, then like you said, others shared their stories. One of my coworkers, when I had mentioned to her, she said exact same thing that I did. I thought I had Alzheimer's. I thought something was wrong with me. But knowing that you have the same thing and others have the same thing, it made her feel so much better, and it made me feel so much better. So that's one of the things I've been trying to do is share my story and listen to others' stories.
Well, you know, that's something that Jeff Shingler talks about. He's been on the podcast a couple of times, and he talks about one of the things that he does is on a daily basis, he will just pick up the phone and call people or text them, just kind of randomly, people maybe he hasn't talked to in a while, and they'll have a conversation and share their stories. And it's that human interaction, because while we've had to physically distance from people for our own health, we shouldn't be losing that social connection. So any way that you can find it is really helpful. And I got to tell you, I have a Bluetooth speaker in my bathroom as well. And I'm not at all embarrassed to admit that I am a big fan of disco music, like that really awful late 70s disco music. I love it for whatever reason. And I, the same way, like I can't be upset when I'm listening to a disco song. So I'm not going to say I have any moods for that, but I do like the music. That's as far as I'll go with that. So, well, good. I think these are all great tips and tricks for people. And again, nothing real secret there, right? These are all just things that maybe we don't think about when we're in the middle of it or when we're facing that wall and not sure how to get over it. So I appreciate you sharing your story, talking with us a bit about Capable and some other things. And, you know, as we get close to the end of the podcast, is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience?
Yeah, I'd like to share a personal story that's just come up over the last 3 weeks. So I mentioned that I was in, you know, kind of that pandemic wall, that fog for quite a while. And I have a 7-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old daughter. And my 7-year-old has been through a lot. Both of them have been through a lot. But for a 7-year-old to be in first grade virtual for a whole year, you know, and also not being able to see her friends that are her same age because we were so careful, it was just really hard on her. And over the last few months, she had been showing more anger and more anger, aggression, depression, anxiety than she had, you know, over the previous year. And it got to the point where it was probably the second or third time in a week that she had told me or told my husband that she didn't want to be alive. And coming from a 7-year-old, you know, who's supposed to be this happy, you know, joyous kid, it was, and up until the last year, she had been that happy, easygoing kid. And just seeing the pain in her face and, you know, and she had told me at one point that she was afraid that my husband and my other daughter and myself were going to get COVID and die and that she was going to be all alone. You know, and just for a little kid to process that. And I feel like I was in such a fog for a while, I didn't realize that she needed extra help. You know, I thought that my husband and I were doing all we could. And so after, you know, kind of lifting myself out of that fog, you know, I talked to my husband and I said, she really needs some help, you know, especially when she's saying things like that. It's something that, that we can't help her any more than we have been. So I contacted her pediatrician, and she told me that a lot of kids are struggling right now, and that we would be lucky to get her into a therapist, you know, in under a month or two. And so I contacted one of my friends here in town who works at a therapy place, and she put me in contact with a new therapist that had just started in the last month, and she had openings. So we were able to get her in that same week. So I was so grateful and blessed for that. And she's had her second session. So this week will be her third session with her therapist. And I'm just really excited to see what she learns from it. And we have goals that she wants to learn how to manage her anger and let us know when it's coming. But getting to that point was really hard. I was afraid that maybe my friends would think she was spoiled and that's why she would throw tantrums, or that I couldn't take care of my own child. You know, it was a really hard decision, and I didn't want to tell anybody about it for a while. But being that this is Mental Health Awareness Month and we're being encouraged to share our stories, you know, I thought that I should tell people, and that it's okay for her not to be okay, and it's okay for me not to be okay sometimes. But the big part is getting the help we need. And, you know, for myself and for my family. And I'm really glad that I did it.
Well, I really love what you said there, Jennifer. And I know that's got to be a difficult story to share. But it is okay to not be okay. It's so important to understand that it's okay to ask for help, that there isn't a stigma, especially when it comes around our emotional or mental health. Because if I fell down the stairs and broke my leg, I'd go to the doctor and get a cast, right? But people are not looking at that at the same way when it comes to their mental health. And that can be a little scary because people are afraid to ask for help because they're afraid of repercussions. And I think what I've learned over my lifetime is that it's best to get that help. And I think you just illustrated beautifully how when we talk about, and we say this all the time, and maybe it sounds old and cliche, but when we talk about getting on the airplane and they tell us, you know, those masks fall down out of the ceiling, you got to put your mask on first before you can help somebody with their mask, because if you don't have your mask on, you're not any good to try and help someone. And this is a great way to show that, is that you were so deep into the fog that you weren't really able to practice self-care. And through that, you weren't really able to see what was going on with your daughter. But once you got that clarity and you got that help, you were able to see that your daughter needed the help as well and able to get that for her. So what a great story, and what a caring mom that you would do that for your daughter. And another great example too is when you talk about anger and kids acting out, that it isn't necessarily because they are spoiled children or they've been treated differently. It's because of what we're going through, and they don't know how to express it any other way. So definitely appreciate you sharing that with me and with the rest of the audience. I think it's going to be very impactful for everyone. And I appreciate coming on the podcast and talking about your journey and your family's journey. I don't want to forget that May the 27th, coming up here in a few weeks, you will be hosting a live event around hitting the wall and climbing over it. And that will be a great interactive discussion for all of us who are co-workers here at Consumers and have the ability to watch that. And we're very excited for that. For those of you who don't work at Consumers and don't have access to our channels, there are all kinds of great things out on YouTube and on the internet and through maybe your own provider to get help or have questions answered. So again, Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Looking forward to doing this again, maybe after the live event, so we can see how that went.
Thank you.
And thank you to the audience for tuning in today. Remember, you can subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, and be sure to take a few minutes and fill out our survey to let us know how we're doing. That can be found at http://bit.ly/me-you-us. And remember to tune in every Wednesday when we talk about the things that impact your personal well-being.